Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our healthcare breakout session. Hope you're having a fun week here at Build. It's always a fantastic time for the Microsoft community to really talk directly to our developers and get feedback on the products we're releasing. But especially in artificial intelligence and research teams, we are really starting to push forward to a new level of innovation. And we really look forward to a lot of the feedback. We hope we're going to hear feedback from you today from some of the things that we start to present. And hopefully you'll be able to use some of the tools that we present today. And we can talk with you after the show. And speaking of products and whatnot, a lot of cool products coming out this week. We are really at such an inflection point, particularly in the healthcare space, of being able to use technology to amplify human lives in very different ways. With the computing power of Azure and with some of the building blocks that we are releasing for our developers with speech and image recognition, with cognitive toolkit, computer vision, machine learning, we really are at a key inflection point where we're able to create tools that truly transform the way that we are operating, particularly in the healthcare space. And today we want to show you some of those tools in hopes that we can spark some innovation and start partnering with you. You may have heard several times that Microsoft is infusing AI into all of our products and services. Healthcare is, of course, no exception. So my name is Heather Cartwright. I am the GM in our Healthcare Next team. And today I'm here with Justin Hutchins, who leads our engineering efforts on some of the products we're going to show you. And we're here today to talk a little bit about connecting healthcare through the health vault systems. Now, many of you, I assume, are working in healthcare already. There's many people talking right now about the disruption that's happening in healthcare. It needs to change. Not a lot of change has happened, quite frankly, in the practice of medicine in almost 50 years. Technology for tools, yes, but a lot of the way we manage data in the system, it's slow to progress, and people are newly coming in. If you take a look at some of the quotes that we're hearing, some people are new to the space, but I'm assuming you aren't, and you're aware of the reality that healthcare is incredibly complicated in many respects. Massive amounts of data coming at us, particularly data that's often conflicting when you look at all the research input that comes in. It's in silos, it's fragmented, it's difficult to parse. We have to do a lot of work just to normalize it so we can apply some of our new tools. And so in the Healthcare Next teams, we're studying those things and seeing how we can make that easier so you guys can go and develop in the areas that you really want to go and transform the space. Biggest issue in front of us is that data management is complex in the healthcare industry. There are massive amounts out there, but quite frankly, interoperability is difficult, and a lot of times the tools that are coming out to address interoperability sometimes impede the speed of getting it out. It's in silos, it's in different schemas, and again, to even apply some tools, you've got to do normalization and a great bit of work just to even utilize the data. We all, I'm sure, know that this is one of the most complex places from a compliance and regulatory perspective, and that's part of some of the tools, again, that we're trying to work on to take that lift away so you can work in an environment with Health Vault that is trusted, secure, compliant, and then go do what you want to do. And last but not least, at Microsoft, we fundamentally believe we have to hold the highest bar possible for privacy and security for patient data. So ensuring you have tools that will allow you to transfer PHI data without having to worry about that privacy component is really at the heart of what we do. On top of the data issues, one of the things that we are fundamentally aware of is that in the healthcare system today, patient engagement is poor. If you look at some data from CDW Healthcare Report, 29% of patients give their provider an A for use of technology to interact with patients. 29%. That's relatively low. On top of that, 89% of patients would like to more easily access their personal healthcare records. Why is that so hard? It shouldn't be. We can make it that easier. So the answer a lot of times has been just throw more spending at it, but this is where technology really comes in, because in the U.S. alone, we're spending $3.6 trillion a year on healthcare. 18% of the U.S. GDP. It's expected to go up to 25% in the next several years, depending on whose report you look at. That's insane. It's an immense amount of money being spent. But the reality is, it's not delivering improved outcomes. And this is exactly where technology can come and help. More money won't necessarily solve our problems. You can see that blue arrow there shows you the gap between the spending for the U.S. and life expectancy. And we're 31st in level of life expectancy, but number one in spending. So using technology to find ways to get cost out of the system and improve outcomes at the same time is very, very possible, and that's what we want to light up. We fundamentally believe that new models for healthcare are going to require cloud capabilities, and that's where the computing power of Azure comes in. This slide lists a few of the things that we're working on. Remote monitoring we'll talk about today, but there's other parts of the company you may have seen down on the floor with whole genome sequencing and the speed improvements. Some of the things for virtual care, being able to remotely work with patients and get them in contact with a physician virtually. Wellness programs, transitioning what today is an HR buzzword into something that actually documents real return on investment with real data back through some of the other tools. And of course, using Azure ML to try and deliver some analytics on that data. But if you leave with one thing today, please remember why the healthcare team is working at Microsoft is because we believe that the ability to digitally capture and annotate and apply machine learning to healthcare information will transform the way that we operate today. And this is behind everything that you will see coming out from our team and coming out from the Healthcare Next organization at Microsoft over the next several years. I'm going to talk just briefly then about Microsoft Healthcare Next, and then I'll hand it over to Justin, who's going to take you through some demos. You may have heard in February we announced the introduction of a team called Healthcare Next. Next stands for New Experiences in Technology. And the best way to think about Next is one foot in the research world and one foot in the product world. We've got world-class researchers developing new technology, new innovation, new ML models. And you can see on the right side of the slide there, Microsoft Research specifically, we had over 75 teams working on healthcare, whether that's short range or long range, 10, 20 years out. We had people working on all of these different healthcare products, and what we tried to do was really pull them together in the Healthcare Next organization to find consistency and identify where we could move forward fastest. And so we've pulled these teams together, and you will see today some of the products, and over the next few years, other products that are going to be coming out from this team that really start to leverage the hyperscale cloud that we have with Azure and get insights from the over 168,000 healthcare organizations that Microsoft works with today. So with that kind of grounding in where we're at from Healthcare Next and some of the things that we're facing in healthcare, I'd like to introduce Justin Hutchings, who leads our Healthcare Next organization for HealthVault.
Thanks, Heather. Whoa, I'm really loud.
Welcome, Justin.
Hey, how about that? Thank you. All right, so I like to know my audience, and I've met a number of you guys in the booth, guys and ladies, in the booth over the last couple of days. But just a quick show of hands, how many people have a HealthVault account today? Okay, we've got maybe a dozen, and the rest of you are all HealthVault newbies, and I love that, because HealthVault is fundamentally a product in transition. We have for a long time been holding a banner of being a personal healthcare record. And we found that that's not enough. There's a lot of functionality in HealthVault today. I'm certainly not going to read you this list, but I want to call out just a couple of key features that that accelerate development for healthcare applications. One is we're a HIPAA-compliant service for PHI. Okay? So what that means is instead of coming to a cloud service and getting a storage account and saying, great, what do I do with it? And having to figure out, what are the HIPAA compliance rules for auditing? What are the rules for data security? What are the rules for privacy, for encryption on the wire, encryption at rest? These are all just taken care of for you as part of the HealthVault product offering. These are things that you get for free, as it were. A couple of other things that we have here, and we'll talk about these in more detail throughout the talk. We support a number of the healthcare standards that exist out in the industry for data exchange. So if your doctor is using Epic systems, you know, whatever they have right now. They support the same standards we do in terms of clinical document architecture and exchanging files back and forth. So let's go a little deeper here. A couple of the key features of Health Vault, and this one I do want to really stress on. So the first thing, I mentioned security. We've got industry standard HTTPS, encryption at rest, authorization, and auditing. So anytime someone changes the user's healthcare record, they can see what the change was, who made it, and they can roll that back. That's a really important thing to really have confidence that the apps you're working with are doing the right things with your data. And for providers that really want to make sure that there's a long-term integrity, even on top of the existing security controls we have, we allow digital signatures. So a provider can say, I did this x-ray, and I've signed it, and so you know this is the exact x-ray that you got from my office. Nobody can tamper with that. You'll know immediately. Beyond that, we've got a great platform full of APIs that really help app developers get going quickly. And then we have SDKs on most platforms that someone would care to develop on. I mean, I didn't actually name them all here, but I'm especially proud of the .NET Standard SDK that we actually just rolled out this week. I pressed the button on NuGet, and so you guys can go get that literally today. Couple of other things to point out. I mentioned the industry standards. We support some of the HL7 standards like CCD, which are continuity of care documents, and CCDA, which is clinical document architecture. Very, very wordy. We also support a couple of the vocabularies that help you do data interchange. Heather mentioned normalizing data is a real problem. And I'll give you a very simple example. If I want to record what medicines I take, and maybe I take sodium naproxen in the morning, but maybe I input it as a leave, how do you know that a leave is the same as sodium naproxen? Well, the way that you do that is we actually have a rich vocabulary system that automatically codes those in interoperable coded values against the database that tells you Aleve is sodium naproxen, which is naproxen sodium, and here's the dosage, and here are the key ingredients. And so you can interoperate with confidence on those sort of very specific data types that exist in the healthcare market. Finally, and I know this is one of the things that's sort of table stakes for a lot of healthcare providers, we do support the U.S. High Tech Act's meaningful use to reporting. And this is a really important thing because there are financial incentives attached to it for covered entities to offer interoperability and to offer electronic medical records. And so we do support that out of the box today. So what does it look like? Obviously, the centerpiece of Health Vault is our secured storage. That's the most important thing that we can offer to customers, is a secure way to store normalized health data. And all of this is embedded in rich schemas that describe exactly what the data looks like. It's not enough just to say, here's a weight, it's 175. 175 what? Stones? And so we've normalized all that data into SI units, as well as provided you ways to get access to the user's data. Because they don't want you to be converting the data back and forth from stones to pounds to kilograms, and then you've got rounding errors and all these things. They said, I was 150, not 149.9999. So we store all that data in a lossless way, as well as in an SI unit, so that you can actually show good graphs and good trends over the long term. I mentioned some of our data import facilities. And so those are really fantastic for us to get data from EMRs and hospitals using those clinical standards. But one of the other things that we've been working at is actually bringing in data from third-party data sources that exist out there with fitness devices. And so here's a little bit more detail. So if you look at the third-party data sources, we actually support a number of the most popular data aggregators today. We're supporting Google Fit. We're supporting Apple Health. We're supporting Validic. And we're adding more devices all the time, because getting access to these IoT devices and bringing data in a low-friction way gives us the opportunity to provide richer care experiences over the long term. Beyond that, we've been investing really heavily in the box that you'll see at the top of the architecture. We're really proud of this. It's our machine learning and analytics system. And right now we're using this to build out insights that we can provide back to customers, and we'll go into more detail on that. But this is a long-term play. This isn't just, we did it, check, we've got machine learning, right? There's a lot of work to be done in developing long-term models that will provide the right value for people. So for example, if I wanted to run a clinical trial today, it's an awful lot of work to identify the patients, to get all the data, to bring it all together, and then de-identify it in the right way so that I can actually run analytics on that data set. Because all of the regulatory requirements say that you have to de-identify your data in a particular way so that it can't be re-identified. So we're building out those capabilities so that we can serve machine learning as a platform offering for you in the healthcare business, so you can start to make better technology choices at lower cost. And finally, I mentioned our .NET standard SDK briefly. That's one of the things I'm super proud of. That works directly with our REST API, and it's going to be there to accelerate development for all of you. So at this point, I think the best thing I can do is actually show you a really quick walkthrough of a Hello World experience on Health Vault. And I'm going to set expectations on this. I pre-recorded this, and so I'm going to pretend, but I'll speak over it. And what you're going to be seeing here is, from zero, file new project, how to connect your app to Health Vault and start getting data out in a secure, compliant way. So let me go to the machine here. Find the play button. All right, so the first thing you're going to do when you come into Health Vault is you need to get registered so that we can securely access your system. We have a tool that we call the Application Configuration Center. This is available publicly. You don't have to do anything special to get access to it. And this is where you actually register your apps. And so the first thing I'm going to do is actually create a new application here. There are a couple of sort of challenging things on the screen that may not seem intuitive. But the first is that you get an application ID. This is a GUID that uniquely identifies your app. You don't have to change that. We're going to leave that be. But you need to copy it to your screen. And the next thing that we're going to do is actually add in the application name. Now, I'm going to pause briefly here. So one of the pieces that's important to decide is what connectivity mechanism you need. So we offer two important connectivity mechanisms within Health Vault. One is web. So this is a certificate-based authentication mechanism that allows you to have durable offline access, service-to-service for cloud-to-cloud connectivity. Works for ASP.NET websites, Java, Wildcat websites, whatever sort of service-to-service technology you're using. We also have a technology called SOTA, which is for mobile app connectivity. This doesn't require certificates to be provisioned on the client machine, and instead uses an OAuth-like protocol. But it's a little bit different. So what I'm going to show next through here is actually how to provision a certificate. I don't need it for this demo. I'm not doing a web app. But I'm going to show you how to do it, because we've made it super easy with our samples. So if you see in the background here, I've got my samples repository. And this is actually a repository that we have up on GitHub that has a bunch of tools and samples to help you be successful. In the PowerShell folder here, you'll notice that we have a commandlet that we've created called create health vault cert, unsurprising there. And so what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to open PowerShell as an administrator, because this will create a certificate and actually add it to your local machine certificate store. Sorry for the little delay there. It had to do all the UAC fun. If you haven't used PowerShell before, you probably need to set execution policy to allow executing scripts. So I just sort of demonstrated how to do that very quickly. And now I'll call the create health vault cert method. There I go. And so I copy out that application ID, as I mentioned earlier, and we pass that into the service. And what this did is it actually created that certificate and placed it in my downloads folder. So if I were to actually use this in a web connected app, what I'd do is I'd go back to the Application Config Center, and I click Browse, and I go to Downloads, and I just upload that cert. And the private key is stored securely in my local machine certificate store, so I'm ready to go as soon as I've done that. Okay, so now I'm changing methods to SOTA. As I said, that doesn't require a certificate, and we're moving on. Okay, so the application's been created, and at this point, it exists, but it doesn't have permissions to do much. And so what I need to do is actually click on the GUID there to go into the details for my app so I can set up some of the important things. This first page here is used to describe your application to the user during the authentication process. So when they actually log in, it says, Health Vault test application would like to access these pieces of data. And it provides your logo and various other things. And I'm getting ahead of myself here. The next thing that you'll want to do is actually authorize the methods that you need. And so specifically here, if you're going to access our REST APIs, and I would totally recommend that you do, a lot of the stuff downstream from this will require it, you pop over to the Methods tab, you check the REST Methods box, and you save. So the next item that we have here is we need to actually set the app rules for data types. So we're going to go into SOTA app rules. And there are two tabs for this if you were in the web experience. You'd see online and offline. A brief description of the difference between the two. Online means while the user is present at your website. Offline means while the user is not present. So that's in a clinical setting where the doctor wants to go and check in on your health vitals when you're not at the clinic. So those authorizations are separate because offline is a bit more sensitive than the online stuff while you're present. Okay. So we're going into the app rules. There's a default rule that's been created, and it only authorizes app-specific information, not super useful from an interoperability perspective. So what we're going to do is actually go through and just confirm that we've got the permissions, all the CRUD permissions, and I'm just going to check off wait. That's the only thing I'm going to get access to in this hello world. It's like one number, so it's the easiest data type out there, right? Okay. And so that is it. At this point, I now have my application registered in Health Vault, and I am ready to go start the app. So I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio. And I wasn't kidding. I'm literally going to do File New Project here. So File New Project. I'm going to do a UWP because that's sort of my bread and butter here. Great. Hello, Health Vault. Accepting all the default options, no big deal. And I'm going to do some things. I'm not going to use MVVM. I'm not going to be fancy. This is a hello world, so just be prepared for my horrendous coding hygiene. So the first thing I need to do is add a reference to the NuGet package. And I'm pulling this in from our internal package feed because at the time I recorded this, like 3 days ago, it wasn't on NuGet. But it's there now, trust me. And so we'll just pull in the Microsoft Health Vault client. If you're using web, there's a web package you can use instead. These both have the same core Health Vault libraries and runtimes that help you be successful here. So literally waiting through NuGet loading. No big surprises. If the network were faster, this would be a much faster demo, right? Okay, so I'm coming into main page. And I always like to do initialization for async stuff that deals with the network. I just override the onNavigated to. It's like the easiest way to do this, right? So here's my override for onNavigated to. Da-da-da. All right. And so now what I need to do is I need to get a connection to Health Vault. And so we actually have a factory that will allow us to grab the SOTA connection object. And so we'll call a static method here. Oh, I jumped the gun slightly. I need a configuration. I need to tell it where to go. Health Vault's a global app, and so there are different instances that we can actually target. So we had to choose whether we were targeting the US instance or the UK instance. So I'm just going to actually add a number of URLs as well as the application ID. That's just so that we know where to go. So I'm setting my master application ID just using that GUID. Super easy. And then, as I mentioned, I'm just going to type in a few of the URLs that we need to be successful. So the Health Vault shell URL, this is the site where you'd go to log in and provide all of your credentials. There's a reason I didn't want to type all this live. I feel like I should have circus music going. Da 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 da. Jump ahead. All right, so now I've got my configuration object done, and now I will actually create the connection object and authenticate it. There we go, so resolve the factory, and I'm creating a soda connection. So I'll pass that configuration object in just to say, this is where I want you to connect to. Then I'll throw that in a variable so I can call the authenticate method. So this method will automatically pop up the right web UI to walk users through the authentication process. So now that I have a connection and I've authorized it, what I can do is I can actually build out my first thing client. And we call everything in Healthvault a thing. It's just the way we do it. But we can build out a thing client and actually ask for the data type that I need. Briefly before I do that, I'm going to grab the record. So one of the details here is Healthvault's a multi-record system. So I could manage a record for my mother or a child or someone like that that otherwise probably wouldn't want to be in a position where they're managing those things. And so this just very easily allows us to select the current record that the user authorized during the authorization UI. There we go. Here's the thing client. So we'll create the thing client, we'll pass in the record. Great, get things. And I'm gonna actually just use a generic here to say I want the weight type. We have wrapper types for all of our data types, so it's very easy for you to get this to go. Great. All right, so once this executes, it's actually going to pull that data into an object that I'll have access to, actually a collection of objects. And so the thing that I want to do now is I'm going to create my UI so you can see it on the screen. I decided not to do a console app, so you have to bear with me while I type a little bit of XAML. And so I'm going to, as I said, do this with terrible hygiene and not use data binding or anything like that. I'm just going to literally set the property for the first weight that I get back onto that text block. So this is literally how easy it can be. Okay, so this is the display value I mentioned earlier, where it's in the user's local units, and I'm just going to go ahead and set the text block, and that's not going to work because I have to actually set it to the text property. It's okay. There we are. All right, so what we're doing, we're going to compile, we're going to run this. This is all completely brand new code straight from file new project. Oh, right. Easy mistake. So let's just go to string, I think. There we are. So all the types in Healthvault have a toString method. So even if you don't know how to parse them natively, you can call toString to get a reasonably friendly representation you can show users. And that's a fantastic little ability that we have to just serialize things out without a whole lot of effort. All right, it's loading. We're going to get prompted for authentication, as I mentioned. And so this is the experience your users see. The big red banner is because it's PPE, so we're telling people don't store personal health information there. It's just for testing. You don't have all the same privacy guarantees that you otherwise would. Typing my password, da-da-da. All right, so here's the authorization UI. You notice I selected my record here and told people exactly which one I use. And there's the value. You can see it's right there. We got 175 out of the system. So in about 10 minutes, including my spiel and my mess up and typing everything manually, we got connected to Healthvault and pulled out our first data type. If you want to compare this to other services where you had to do all of the data connectivity and build your own service, I think you'd be, in like the days or weeks time frame. So I hope this was educational. So let's get into the other stuff here. I mentioned very briefly that we've been working really hard to modernize this platform, to make it a great developer experience for everybody. And so we have new and improved SDKs. I already mentioned the .NET Standard SDK that supports Xamarin. We're really excited about that because that, we think, gives people the opportunity to reach their customers wherever they are using .NET, using the latest tools, and using familiar design patterns. We've got generics. We've got async patterns. It's really a nice, easy-to-use API. We've built out a REST API. A lot of our new scenarios are coming in as a REST API, so we're trying to up-level some of the functionality from the existing XML types to allow you to do more with the data. We're using this to build out complex data management scenarios that cut across data types. And we think this will actually help improve the speed of development for people over time. And I just want to call out very briefly, this graphic over here is not just noise. The highlighted set of lines that I have there, that's literally all the API calls you need to make to our REST API to get access to action plans through our platform. And so we've used AutoREST to generate out a nice library. It's super, super tight. You know, what is it, 4 lines there? And we've got exactly what we need from the API. So I'm super excited to show that out. And finally, one of the things that I've been driving really hard on is we've gone big into open source. So over the last few years, we had a bunch of samples that lived on CodePlex. If you've used CodePlex, you know why you don't want to continue to use CodePlex. So we've gone deep on GitHub. We've got 3 SDKs out there. Our Java SDK, our .NET Standard SDK, and our Objective-C SDK are all public out on GitHub. We welcome everybody's contributions and comments and feedback. We've also put out all of our samples into one nice, neat repository that gives you access to the right tools and documentation to get started on everything. And then finally, we've taken all of our documentation out of MSDN and just recently this week published this out to Docs, which is our new documentation framework at Microsoft, and all the sources on GitHub. So if you see problems or if we see problems, it's going to improve the rapidity in which we can address those issues that you see and really provide you a great developer experience. So I'm really excited about all of this. We talked briefly earlier about interoperability. And I mentioned that we have support for 2 standards already. We have HL7's continuity of care documents, as well as the direct messaging standard, which is sort of it's a related technology that uses email and signed attachments to get CDA documents into the system automatically when they're uploaded. But those are older technologies. There's a lot more that the health industry is working on. And so I'm super thrilled to actually announce that we have a partnership with Get Real Health, where we've literally just pushed publish on a GitHub repo in the last couple weeks for supporting HL7's FHIR standard. And if you haven't looked at FHIR before, you'll know it's a very rich, very deep set of RESTful APIs that allows data interoperability between EHRs and other healthcare data systems. It's a big project. We're going to be working on this for a while. We didn't want to do this in the dark behind closed doors. We wanted to do it out in the open so that each of you can help us prioritize the data types that you really need, especially since this spec is still being solidified, still being formalized, still being signed off. There's a lot of churn to be expected, and we really want to make sure that we're doing the best implementation we can to interoperate with all the EHRs out there that are also doing this project at the same time. So if you're interested in FHIR, by all means, we would love to have your input, to have your contributions. Okay, so we talked quite a bit. Heather was mentioning all of the capabilities that we're working on in Health Vault to really be different, to approach healthcare in a novel way. And we've been working on these under this banner we're calling Health Vault Insights. And the scenario that we've been really incubating is this remote monitoring scenario. And I want to give you guys just a bit of detail on what we mean by this. Did anybody get a chance to stop by the booth and see some of the demos we've done throughout the week? Great, some of you have. So this will be new to a number of you. So what we mean by remote monitoring is really improving patient engagement over the long term. You know, I like to tell a story about, I have a friend that was recently diagnosed with high blood pressure. And he always seemed to go into the clinic at the end of the day, after fighting like 45 minutes of Seattle traffic and dealing with his not so nice boss and having like 7 client meetings, they're like, dude, you got high blood pressure. I'm gonna put you on these drugs. And he got onto this medicine, and it turns out he doesn't have high blood pressure. He has a high stress commute to the doctor's office. And so what he's found is he bought one of the blood pressure cuffs and started measuring at home. And in the mornings, his blood pressure is fine. In the evenings, about an hour after work, his blood pressure is fine. And so the doctor had actually, based on this small snapshot of information that he got in this sort of 5% of our lives that were in front of doctors, right? He made the determination that this friend of mine had a disease that he doesn't actually have. And what we're trying to do with this remote monitoring scenario is improve this. And we think that there are a few key attributes that really make the scenario pop. One is personalized insights. It's not enough just to have a bunch of data about the user. We have to actually sort through it in a meaningful way to help drive home the most important bits of data that help the user and the provider make good decisions. I already mentioned that there are tons of healthcare peripherals out there, and leveraging those in a seamless way is ultimately the best way that we're going to improve the data flow and fill in that 95% of time you're not at the doctor. And a lot of these devices are, you know, becoming more and more interoperable. They have cloud services behind them. And so, you know, that's a functionality that we're excited to light up because we really think it helps add color to the rest of a user's life. And the last piece is that we think we need to structure the communication between a provider and a patient with care plans. So when my friend's doctor sort of jumped the gun and said, here's a statin, have luck with that, what he could have done is say, what I would like you to do instead is measure your blood pressure once a day and have the system send me the data so that I can make a better informed decision. And if it still looks bad, we can adjust our plan. Or if it's not so bad, we can dial it back and monitor it at a slower cadence. Cadence, that's the other word. So let me show you what I mean. I think this is a great thing for us to do some vision here.
Sorry I'm late. Had to make up some hours. These should last you through the weekend.
Thanks. Can you get me the remote? It's there.
How's it going with that new medication?
Fine.
You don't look fine, Dad.
I don't know.
I can call and make the appointment.
No, I don't really feel like going in. I don't want you to have to drive all the way into the city. I can wait until my next appointment.
Mr. Lee.
How are you feeling today?
Well, not so good.
We're looking at your
baseline health right now. Can you describe how you're feeling?
Tired all the time.
Thirsty all the time, too.
Okay.
That's helpful. It looks like Dr. Jordan put you on prednisone for your COPD last week. You may be feeling the side effects. Let me check in with the doctor
to see if she wants to change this medication for you.
Okay.
All right, I think that's a really powerful message in what you can do with remote monitoring technology. And I'm going to be the first one to say, we haven't built that. That was a dramatization of the kinds of conclusions and the kinds of solutions that we as an industry can provide for customers, leveraging great technology. And there's a lot of components to that. So first, we know that you need to have baseline health monitoring with great devices, because if you don't have actionable data, you can't make great decisions. Then you need to have a large collection of AI running that's personalized for the user to create actionable information for the user and the provider. And I think the video did a great job of showing how the patient was informed that something might be wrong, but ultimately, the provider they called is the one that made the decision on what to do differently. And that's important. We're not taking physicians out of the equation. We're giving them the tools to be more effective as a technology industry. We're providing out APIs and interfaces that allow you to provide these scenarios in a compelling way and to sell those into hospitals and providers, clinics, to help make them more effective. And then finally, I mentioned the care plans. These need to continuously evolve with ongoing feedback from the patient and from the provider so that we can really hone in on the best way to deliver great care. So I'm going to breeze through this very quickly here. I mentioned several times, data, data, data. We need to get data. We've got support for EHR data exchange using a bunch of the standards that are out there, but we were also collecting data from other places that it exists, Cortana, phone sensors, Apple Health, Google Fit, and we're extremely excited. I don't know if anyone caught the press release we put out this week, but we're partnering with Validic. Instead of trying to build out our own like magical ecosystem cloud thing to synchronize with a bunch of devices, we found one that is a magical ecosystem of cloud synchronization with a bunch of devices. And we're just going to use them because they do that. They're good at that. And so if you've got devices that you're producing, go make sure you work with them because we want to hook those up so that app developers can really easily get access to all the healthcare data from wherever it's from. I keep mentioning insights, and so it's super, super crucial that we deliver multivariate analysis that really takes into account all of the variables of the individual. You know, the population size is one. It's cool that maybe I got less steps than the other people in my zip code, but what I really care about is, am I doing better versus how I used to do? Versus how I do normally, because that's how I can come up with the conclusions about my own health. This is how we provide smart assistance and recommendations to customers to really help them hone in on what the important points are. I like to give the example, like, maybe you don't get very many steps on Tuesdays because you ate way too many tacos at the taco truck on Taco Tuesday. And that's something that we don't have taco data in the cloud. I'm first to admit that. But if we said you seem less active on Tuesdays and you say, yeah, I'm bloated after tacos, that's a conclusion you can learn from. I mentioned that it's individual, and it's really a social process to deliver these insights and get improvements in results. And finally, one of the things that we found that's really interesting, delivering the right kind of message is also an individual problem. We had a theory that everyone would like it if we said, you did better than last week, good job. But some people really like it when their technology is mean to them and says, come on, fatso, time to move it. That's not like a magic answer where we can sort of like, you know, just figure out like you're gonna be in the, you know, we should be mean to you category. So we use machine learning to try and get indicators on that. If we give you a negative message and you responded to it, maybe we should give you more of those. I've gone and I've talked a little bit around action plans as a structure to deliver care instructions from the provider to the patient. And this is a really crucial structure just to help improve the quality of communication that people have. On the provider side, one of the things that we think is really, really empowering is that if they have concerns about their patient, they can check in on the data all by themselves, on demand. And they can track to see, is my patient doing what I asked them to do? Are they measuring their blood pressure every day like I asked them to? And how are the results looking? And we think this is a great opportunity to really improve patient engagement because it gives the doctor the ability to meaningfully reach out instead of cold calling and saying, how are you feeling today? They have a context for ongoing engagement. And you know, it's that framework of data and insight and data and insight with providers helping to tweak the plans that really drives a virtuous cycle of patient-provider communication. And you know, we've studied this. We did some internal trials within Microsoft to see if our philosophy will bear fruit. And what we found is that in comparison to fitness trackers and what have you, if you buy a little pedometer, after about 90 days, about half of people throw them in the drawer and forget to charge them again. And what we've seen is this with this framework and providing personalized guidance and insights, 80% of users are still using the service 6 months later. Beyond that, we're seeing increases in scenario usage across the board. So 30% increases in sleep tracking, 27% increases in exercise tracking. And better yet, this is actually leading to improved outcomes. So more steps, more cardio minutes, better sleep. And so we think the data seems to suggest that this might have legs. And so I want to show you a brief demo. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to be super fast. But I encourage you, if you want to ask more questions, to come to our booth down on the fourth floor after this. So let me check this out. This one. All right, so what we have, I mentioned all of our samples that we have on GitHub. And so one of the things I want to walk you through very briefly is you can imagine I go into the doctor, and they say, hey, based on my data, it looks like you're gaining a lot of weight, buddy. And so they, you know, you could imagine that they want to check your data too, and they want to see what your weight history is over time. And so they look at your weight history. Maybe you don't have a lot of data. That's an important correlation too, because it says maybe you should just measure this more often. Maybe that might help so that when you overeat on Taco Tuesday, you don't follow it up with Waffle Fry Wednesday. And so you could imagine they just go in and they issue you a plan and they say, what I want you to do, I want you to track your weight every day. That's all I want. Maybe they could ask you for extra steps. Maybe they ask you for other things. But they would just ask, let's have you track your weight. And on the client side, you know, you can obviously track your weight and do all those things manually. But the important thing is that the consumer experience needs to tell people, your doctor's asked you to do this, and provide reminders and helpful hints to say, hey, it's time to do this. You haven't complied with your doctor's requests in several days. Let's get that done. And so, you know, we can come in through our action plans experience and say, okay, you asked me to track my weight. I'm going to measure my weight. And maybe I'm doing better today. Maybe it's 170 instead. Cool. And so now what ends up happening is the doctor actually can check in later, and they can get a view based on the plan that they've given you to see how often have you actually done what you were asked to do. And they can separate non-compliance with the plan versus a lack of good outcomes just because. And so all of the software I just showed you is available on our GitHub. This is stuff you can try out today in our PPE environment, and I hope you will all do so. So I'm going to switch back here. But in addition to that, we've actually built out an app, a reference app called Health Vault Insights. The whole platform is called Health Vault Insights. The app is called Health Vault Insights. It's really great. And this is where we've actually implemented a lot of the features I've talked about. So we've got a baseline implementation of action plans for remote monitoring. We've got the data connectors to get access to Validic and Google Fit and HealthKit. We've got access to your health history using your Health Vault data, and we can help you take measurements. And this is available today. You can go log on to your app store of choice and download it and give it a try. So I'm going to close out here. We've got about 10 minutes left, and I want to give the opportunity for people to ask questions at the end. Health Vault, I hope you've seen, is a great foundation to build out healthcare apps. Because we've taken a lot of the hard work, a lot of the stuff that slows you down if you're in startup mode and you just want to get the actual scenario done. We've taken care of that and made it really easy for you to deliver out great solutions that change patient outcomes and help to close that gap between throwing money at it and actually improving the patient's life. And we really, really, really want to partner with you. Because as Microsoft, we're a platform company. It's not super likely that we're going to go in and talk to, you know, every small hospital and doctor's clinic and try and sell out an app. That's the opportunity for our ecosystem, is to figure out innovative ways to meet physicians' and patients' needs. And we'll provide the background for you. We'll provide the compliance and the auditing and the analytics and the opportunity. It's up to you to close the last mile. And we've already started a number of partnerships across Healthcare Next. And I encourage, if you haven't, go check out the blog that we posted right after the HIMSS conference to talk about some of the partnerships we have. We're really interested in working with software developers, ISVs, research institutions, universities, hospitals. Even if you didn't hear something that you are working on today, it doesn't mean we're not working on it. So if you're not sure, ask. We really welcome the opportunity to join with you in delivering new experiences that will help patient outcomes. And just briefly, I want to say, did everybody see the keynote on Wednesday this week with that great product, the Emma Band, for the patient that had Parkinson's? It was really touching. And that's actually one of our partners in MSR Cambridge that worked on that. And it's fantastic to think about the full range of products that we can use as a technology industry to help improve patients. So, again, if you've got questions, please let us know. I'm going to close this out with a quick call to action. So I showed you today how in 10 minutes or so, including all of my bubbling and rambling, you can build a Health Vault app on our platform that gets secure access to all of the data in the system. I told you how you can install Health Vault Insights to get a preview of the platform features we're incubating, including our machine learning and insights. And I've pointed out how we have lots and lots of new assets on GitHub as well to help you get started so you can really dive in deep. And my last request is, send us your feedback. As Heather said, we're one foot in the research organization and one foot in products. And so we thrive on understanding how we can be a better platform for each of you. And so with that, I thank you. And Heather and I are happy to take questions from the audience if you have any. There are microphones at both ends, so just help yourself. That way I don't have to repeat for the video cast. Heather, do you want to come up and...
So one broad question, which kind of is the same thing. So
sure.
Health Vault in a lot of ways looks like exactly what it did 5 years ago, some of the same, what I would say, maybe kludgy protocols that were used 5 years ago. Is there an underdone effort, is there an ongoing effort, rather, to modernize those protocols to something that more resembles what the rest of the web would use?
So our new APIs, all the new APIs that we're producing are built on a RESTful API model using Swagger and the kinds of technologies that you'd expect for a modern service. But we haven't changed the legacy stuff because there are actually a lot of really great apps out there that leverage those, and there's no reason for us to change those and jeopardize those apps.
Specifically that sign-in experience with the redirect going to something more standards-based, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Sure, that's a great question, and it's something that we're actively investigating.
Okay.
I can't commit on timelines, but we're aware and we're looking at it.
And my last question, sorry to have two. So one of the things I struggle with as a physician is how I make use of this data.
Sure.
And so I just wonder if your process is informed by physicians who actually practice in both domains, and how that's informing your platform and some of your use cases that you're envisioning.
Sure.
I can jump in here. So a comment on that, the modernization of health fault, it's a very poignant question. And to be really candid, we let health fault sit for a while, trying to understand really what the value set was for our customer base. Because when health fault came out, it was a consumer product. And where we found most of the value in health fault was actually on the partner side and using it as a tool to facilitate the work they were doing. And we've been transitioning it over to from a true consumer interface and a PHR to technology that really can light up our partner world. And so you're seeing that modernization start to happen now with the Health Vault Insights preview. Some of the questions you asked about onboarding and things like that, take a look at the Health Vault Insights preview. It's on MSDN. Some things are on GitHub. So go out there and try that. That will start to give you an indication of what you're going to see coming out. But we have fully migrated Health Vault to the Azure environment at this point, and we are coming out with a lot more modernization. From the question of is this informed by physicians, we are absolutely working with clinical partners. Fundamentally, we believe that real progress in the healthcare field is not something that any of the players are going to be able to really facilitate on their own. You need a component of data science and computer science. Developers in the tech world, you need clinical insights from the medical world to inform some of those modeling, or some of the modeling, some of the patient interfaces, the different types of patient sets that we need to build interfaces for. And there may even be a third component from a device maker and device connectivity standpoint, depending on your scenario. So we really believe you need to have all those folks working together. And that's just in the clinical space. There's also some of you, I'm sure, working from the financial space of working with Optums and Aetna Health and whatnot. And so that's a whole other opportunity that we can go and help transform healthcare to make it easier and streamlined. And so we're looking at all those areas and trying to get inputs from the experts in each one of them to find tools that bridge across. We're about interoperability. The fundamental of what Health Vault was to try and pull data for multi-institutions and make it work together, and we're doing that in those other areas of health as well.
Thank you.
I really hate being put on the spot like this. So I think that you started talking along those same lines, and this seemed to skirt around this area, but what about actually like with the data modeling and the machine learning and the AI? Yeah. What is Microsoft doing in this realm to build these data models and case studies, predictive analytics?
Yeah.
Where is this going in that direction?
Sure. One of the biggest challenges in health today that I have seen is this really cool research and being done at a very, very small scale. And then when somebody tries to apply that, they go to a hospital system and say, hey, I've got this solution for, you know, insert the condition. It doesn't scale broadly to very large user sets. It may or may not have paid attention to all the protocols for compliance and security. And so really the challenge is to identify solutions at a small scale and then build technical components that will help scale it broadly. And one of the things we have done with Health Vault Insights, you can see the pipe through pulling into what we call the big data pipeline for sleep and activity. Those are samples that are in the app that you download today. If you sign up and you start running it for yourself, you will start to get insights. And you'll see the output of that insights engine. And so you will start to see tools coming out that access that will allow you to create those insights for your own care plans very soon.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, I have a quick question about Validic cassettes because I'm a technical architect. I was playing around with Validic and trying to get Validic data into our app. And I'm just curious if that is now available from Health Vault Insight or how do I go about getting Validic?
Sure, the Validic integration is it's sitting in our staging. We haven't pushed the publish button on it yet, but we have all the deals inked and all that, so it's really just a matter of making sure we go through all of our quality gates and we'll push the button, and it'll show up here in the next couple weeks.
Couple of weeks, okay.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And we've got 1 minute left, so probably best for you, we should chat offline. We will be downstairs in the big expo hall, right in the middle in the AI and research area. So please come by, say hi. One last request, please fill out a session evaluation. This helps us be better at being presenters. So we appreciate everything you do. Thank you, everybody.